Hi, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Wildlife for You podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Payne, and I'm joined here by my best friend and a truly wonderful co-host, Daryl Radicek. Now, let me start out by thanking everybody for your patience. Unfortunately, we had to take an unexpected break last week. All my fault, I'll take the blame, but we are back at it, and this week's episode, I'm sure, promises to be a good one.
Oh my gosh, it sure does. And you probably know why that is, right?
Is it because I gave you total control over selecting the topic?
You got it.
Yeah, I'll let you gloat for just a minute, but just so you know, I'm already regretting that decision. So let me guess, we're going to be talking about bears.
No.
No?
Yes, we're going to be talking about bear, but I'm not going to be talking about bears. We are going to be talking about bears. So, truth be told, there's been a whole lot of talk about bears lately during your hiatus thing here. And I will tell you, Steph, I'm really, really, really going to need you on this episode.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off by saying we versus I. That's total semantics that you're abusing there. And
I know. Well, I.
I'll let you know, I haven't heard a darn thing about bears in like a week and a half. So,
Well, where has your mind been for the last week and a half?
not
Not
on bears.
on.
Yeah, not on wildlife, not on anything but work life. But anyway, so why in the world are you going to need my help on this episode, knowing I've been kind of out of pocket?
Well, yeah, it's not for your bear expertise, even though you have quite a bit of that. Where I'm gonna need you, Steph, I'm gonna need you to help me stay contained, so to speak. You know,
Yeah, because
is
I've
there
been
something funny?
traveling. Wait.
I need you to keep me calm, because you know how you can sometimes get like so wrapped up in an issue that you can kind of let it begin to affect you emotionally. Well, as soon as I said that, I just realized I'm probably asking the wrong person, because you're the one that always taught me to think logically. Anyway, in regards to today's topic, I am definitely not there yet. Or at least I'm not as good as you when it comes to remaining calm, because sometimes I get so frustrated, especially when I'm dealing with like illogical or irrational people or irrational thought. I find that I get so caught up in it, I sometimes want to stoop to their tactics. Now, I don't mind you, but I tell you what, the bottom of my lip is pretty darn raw from me biting it all the time over the last couple of weeks.
Okay, D, hold on just a second. Let's back up because all I know right now is that you want to talk about bears. You're pretty riled up about something. You're already telling me I'm going to have to calm you down, which doesn't always work, but I still don't even know what the topic is. So why don't we just back up there and let's kind of start there. So what in the world has got you like all juiced up?
Well, I guess I should have clarified that, but okay. I know you've been like really busy with some personal things of late. So let me fill you in with what's been going on in the wildlife world, or should I say the bear world, or better yet, the grizzly bear world, to be even more exact.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. It's been a while since we talked about grizzlies. I think the last time we chatted, it was shortly after I got back from our Yellowstone trip.
Yes, and it's funny you should mention that, my friend, because the bear we're going to talk about is one of those famous Yellowstone bears. Well, actually, I should correct that. She's more of a famous Teton bear. So, are you familiar with bear number 399?
Well, I personally am quite familiar with the beautiful little Grizz, but I'm not so sure that all of our listeners are familiar with her. So why don't you go ahead and fill everybody in on who 399 is? It's a name that's pretty catchy. And then tell me what's going on with her.
Okay, this should be pretty easy since I love talking about bears. So, as most people know, the grizzlies in Yellowstone, or that greater Yellowstone area, are some of the most studied and researched bears in the entire world. Now, this is because in the early 70s, there was this great concern over their population, or that population of grizzlies. So, in 1975, they were placed on the endangered species list.
Hey, can I jump in here real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, just so everybody knows, grizzlies are a subspecies of brown bears, or Ursus arctos. And grizzlies are simply brown bears that live on the interior of a continent, so kind of like way inland on a continent. And primarily, we're talking here about the Northern Rockies.
And can I quiz you here real quick, Steph? What is the subspecies name for grizzlies?
Probably the best subspecies name in the history of ever. It is Ursus arctos horribilis, which is absolutely, I mean, it's horrible. It's great.
Yes.
Anyway, believe it or not, brown bears are some of the most widespread bears in the entire world. I know a lot of people don't realize that, but they truly are. They're found literally throughout the entire northern hemisphere in both North America and in Eurasia. So brown bears are not endangered. So when Daryl says that grizzlies were placed on the endangered species list, he is only referring to the bears in the lower 48 states of the United States. Grizzlies are doing extremely well in Canada and Alaska. But keep in mind, when it comes to the lower 48, grizzlies historically ranged in most of the states west of the Mississippi River, all the way down into Mexico. So by 1975, it was estimated that there was less than 200 grizzlies left in the entire lower 48. And most of those were found around what Daryl referred to a second ago as the Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem. We call it the GYE. So it's a right around the what is now the Yellowstone National Park.
Excellent, excellent point. I'm glad you interjected there, and because you literally have no idea how many people I talk to that think grizzlies are on the verge of extinction, and that isn't even close to happening. Anyway, that small population of 200 or so grizzlies in that GYE, that Greater Yellowstone area, that is the population that was put on the endangered species list, and as such, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they're the federal agency, they kind of took control over the management of that species. And so what they did is they developed a recovery plan to bring those numbers back up. And I'll tell you right now, they've done a wonderful job because what is it, like 40 plus years later of federal protections and a whole lot of research on grizzly bears. It's estimated that there's probably, well, if you hear the official estimate, I think they put it at 700, but most people working on the project believe there's probably closer to 1,000 grizzlies in that whole Greater Yellowstone ecosystem.
Yeah. And Daryl is not kidding when he says a whole lot of research. The interagency grizzly bear team, which is comprised of state and federal biologists, have been studying, tagging, putting radio collars on, and stuff like that on grizzlies in that GYE, the Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem area, for decades. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dee, but isn't that where information from 399 first started? Like, didn't researchers first tag 399 a couple decades ago?
Yes, that absolutely correct. And they tagged her and they documented her being born, I believe it was 1996, which makes her almost 26 years old, which is well beyond the age of what most grizzlies typically live to in the wild. Now, obviously the nickname 399 comes from her tag number, but here's where 399 is really special. Besides being a female grizzly, which hopefully everyone knows they're extremely important when it comes to maintaining and growing a population. You need the women out there to pump out the babies. The
And for
cool,
a lot more reasons, women.
well, yeah,
There.
that sounded bad. From a wildlife standpoint, the females are ultra important. Like men don't mean much, which is probably true for a lot of species. But anyway. It's really, really important to have female grizzlies because they're really the ones that drive that population. But this is where 399 kind of sets herself apart because she's proven herself to be this absolutely incredible mother. Now, besides routinely pumping out like triplets, which just so you know, most grizzly bear mothers, they usually only give birth to one or two cubs. She actually does quite well raising all of her offspring, especially when she has triplets. Now, usually when a bear gives birth to a large litter, the survival rate of those cubs usually decreases. Obviously, for a number of reasons, because it's so energy expensive. But 399 seems to buck that trend. She does really well at raising her offspring. Anyway, she has pretty much become known as like the matriarch of that greater Yellowstone area, and primarily that Grand Teton National Park, just so you know, which is south of Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah. Didn't researchers think that she was past her prime as far as producing cubs? I mean, after all, a 20-plus-year-old grizzly is a pretty stinking old bear.
Yeah, and in fact, most researchers thought she was going to be on this like downward trend as far as cub production goes, but guess what she did last year?
Didn't she come out of the den with like four cubs?
Yep.
You know what? She's like the Tom Brady of the bear world.
Gets better with age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that four cubs from a grizzly, that's only been documented like a handful of times in like the whole history of that greater Yellowstone area. And here it is. She was a 24-year-old female at the time producing quadruplets. And here's the thing, Steph. What's even crazier than that, though, is the fact that she has successfully raised all four of those cubs up to now. And those cubs, I have to tell you, they've grown into some really big stinking yearling grizzlies. And it's estimated right now that they're upwards around, her cubs are about 250 pounds each.
Whoa, that's actually, I know a lot of people don't realize that, but that's actually pretty amazing. I mean, can you imagine seeing a 400-plus-pound female grizzly walking around with like 1,000 pounds of cubs hanging out at her side? That would definitely be a spectacle.
Oh my gosh, you know it. And the funny thing is, I don't think you could have described that situation any better, Steph, because this is now getting into the heart of this issue with 399. She has literally become a spectacle. She's this social media star, and she's pretty much become somewhat of a roadside attraction. And there's literally, I hate to say this, but there's literally tens of thousands of followers of 399 on Facebook. And this isn't even mentioning like the hordes of people that follow her around in real life. There's people out there wanting to see pictures of her and whatever she's doing throughout the day, wanting to know what she's doing and where she is literally every minute of every day.
They need to just give her own little, mobile phone so she can just update her status and tell
With
everybody
so
what she had for dinner and a little selfies. Yeah.
Yeah,
But,
it's that lack of opposable thumb. She can't do the selfie, so that's why.
darn it. Yeah, not to mention the claws might be a hindrance, but correct me if I'm wrong, Daryl, but I heard something like there's anywhere from something like 40 to 50 professional wildlife photographers that have become stalkers, like pretty much follow her around when she's in any kind of an easily accessible area.
Yeah, I can't verify it 100%, but I heard that too, and I don't doubt it for one bit. Now, and the reason I say that is if you get on any of her Facebook pages, there are dozens, every day there's like dozens of these new, amazing, beautiful photos of her daily throughout the summer and throughout the fall.
I guess she's probably gotten pretty used to being in the spotlight.
Oh, absolutely. And because she more or less has a paparazzi following her wherever she goes, her and her cubs.
Paparazzi, stalker, fine line.
Yeah, but with that paparazzi, it's just, man, it's just like nonstop with her. And the funny thing is that human presence, I have to say, it tends to help her out a bit with her cub rearing because it tends to keep those male bears away.
Well, I mean, heck, given that a male grizzly, those are probably the biggest threat to her young cubs. I mean, especially if they're 250 pounds. But it's no wonder that she does a good job at raising her offspring since she tolerates people so well. But here's the thing. There's this thought amongst the public that female grizzlies use this, like, air quotes, human shield in an effort to, like, increase their cub survival. But that's a learned behavior. That is not instinctual. The last thing that we need people thinking is that proximity to humans, especially for a female with cubs, is a good thing because even though it might increase the cub survival rate, the long-term impact of being around humans is absolutely horrible for bears, especially for grizzly bears. You know, as everybody should probably know, the leading cause of adult grizzly death in that GYE area is from humans, either through conflict or in lots of cases, automobiles. Because you hang up by a road, what's flinging down the road? Automobiles.
And that's one of the things I don't get, Steph. You talk to most people, and right off the bat, they would agree that it's not good for bears to be around humans. But then when you mention one of those famous roadside grizzlies, this is, for example, 399, it's like, oh, but it's okay for them. It's like they use that human shield theory as an excuse. And I hate to say this, but I think there's some bit of selfishness interlaced with using that defense.
How so?
Well, think about it, Steph. Okay, you liken yourself a wildlife lover. What do most wildlife lovers long to see if they were to take a ride in their car or truck or whatever and drive up to Yellowstone or the Tetons?
A grizzly, of course.
And where would your best chance of seeing a grizzly if you were taking a ride up there?
It's probably going to be near the road, of course.
Exactly. So knowing the troubles that can befall grizzlies that hang out alongside the road, whether it's being struck by a vehicle or finding food pitched out by those dingbats, because yes, believe it or not, people are still feeding bears and throwing food out to them. Why in the world would we wish grizzly bears to be hanging out near roads?
Well, that would be for our own very selfish reasons. And that's a never-ending hope of, you know, of seeing a bear along the roadside. You know, that's what it is. So tell me, is this what has you all riled up? Because we already dedicated an entire episode about roadside grizzlies, talking about roadside grizzlies.
No, it's not what has me riled up. But see, that's why I need you to rein me in, because you already let me get willy-nilly over here. Anyway, you can tell I get sidetracked easily, and I could talk about grizzlies like all night long.
Oh, people, you have no idea how true that statement is. So, what's your issue then?
Well, did you hear about the troubles that 399 was getting herself into over the last month or so?
I'm being honest a little bit, but it was pretty much just the tidbits of information that you were feeding me because I've been so busy. But wasn't she getting into a bit of trouble like near the Jackson Hole area, you know, like looking for food in all the wrong places?
Oh my gosh.
Looking
That
food in all the wrong. Yeah, sorry.
looking for food in too many space. Okay. That would be a good country song. Anyway, yes, that is exactly what was going on with 399. Now, needless to say, I've been trying to keep some close tabs on where she's been hanging out, and let's just say it's not good. Her and her four cubs, those 250 pound yearlings, they were bouncing around the outskirts of town of Jackson Hole, and even in getting themselves into some of those more residential areas. Now, sadly, she's been having a number of run-ins with some of the landowners along the way. And so the Fish and Wildlife Service, they already reported that she's gotten herself into some apiaries or beehives, and she's even raided a few piles of livestock feed. And so sadly, if she keeps it up, there's little doubt she's soon going to become food conditioned to human foods or human provided foods. And worst case scenario, she could even end up dead. Now, remember, some folks, there's, I shouldn't say, there's quite a few folks out there that don't take too kindly to a bear breaking into their things, and they tend to take matters into their own hands.
And you know what compounds that issue even more?
What's that?
I bet you she is teaching each and every one of those little cubs the exact same thing. You know, they still follow her around in like lockstep, even though they're yearlings.
Oh yeah, that's an absolutely great point. And that issue is literally compounded by four, because she's got four honking big yearling cubs with her.
Yeah, so there's little doubt that she's teaching some really, really bad habits to her offspring. So you mentioned the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been keeping tabs on her. Do you know if they're planning on like doing anything about it? You know, stopping this behavior before it becomes irreversible, or even worse, before she comes into contact with a less tolerant landowner, or potentially something even worse than that.
Well, funny you should mention that stuff, because that's exactly what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was trying to do. Or let me say the interagency grizzly bear team, because it's more folks than the Fish and Wildlife Service. But that's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to put a radio collar on 399, so that way they can keep track of her, and if she's getting into areas that she's likely to get in trouble, they can hopefully haze her or steer her away from that. So their plan was to stop that bad behavior before it's too late. But do you have any idea how hard it would be to get that collar on that bear?
I mean, well, knowing what I know about bears and how elusive they are, it could be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You know, if only they had a radio collar on her, at least they could get ahead of her, like you said, and hopefully stop that bad behavior before it starts. So that is important.
Yeah. Now, ready? Enter the Ryle. I'm finally
Well.
getting to why I'm all riled. So let me ask you this, Steph. If you were planning on catching a high-profile mama bear grizzly with four cubs, how would you go about it?
Yeah, high profile with the stalking paparazzi and the fan club and the Facebook. I mean, something like that's going to take a whole lot of super duper amazing coordination. You know, trapping one bear, just one specific bear, is sometimes hard enough, but trying to trap the right one out of that group of five, I would imagine you would need to bring in traps pretty much for every bear. So you'd probably need to have multiple agencies really working together to make this happen. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is definitely not an event that only takes one or two people. Now, imagine trapping that many bears at once. There's five bears. So a more likely scenario is they put out these traps and they only trap a couple of the bears. The likelihood of them trapping all five or just the one that they want, it's almost non-existent. And so picture that. You have five grizzlies, pretty decent sized grizzlies. You now get a couple of them trapped and they like each other. So now these biologists, the people working on this project, they have to deal with the bears inside the trap. And now there's this really intense situation dealing with any of the grizzlies remaining outside of the traps, especially if they don't get the mom. Mom's going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, I mean, 'cause she's yeah. Oh, that could be a volatile situation. And I honestly can't imagine the level of coordination that that would take. And here's another thing that pops into my mind. With Bear 399 being so popular, there's probably going to be people all over the place, like wanting to see what's going on, spying, getting involved, that you know, wanting to interfere. That would be an absolute nightmare. You know, their best hope is to if it were me, I'm just saying, if this were me, their best hope to trap this potential highly volatile bear situation that they have is to do it in like a secluded area at some random time when they're probably not going to encounter all of those.
Did I ever tell you how impressed I am with your way of thinking?
Not nearly enough.
Well, you do pretty good sometimes. So anyway, the way you methodically and logically think things through is utterly amazing. I love it. Because Steph, you just described exactly what the multi-agency bear team was trying to do, except there is one problem.
So what happened?
The world of social media happened, and when this was going down, they literally activated an army of armchair biologists and emotionally charged people.
Oh, tell me they did not interfere. I mean, you just saying that just quite literally made my skin crawl.
See, enter the Ryle. You now know why I was so riled up last week. And okay, here it was, Steph. It was a week and a half ago. It was a fairly calm, cool, collect Saturday morning, and I woke up, decided to see what was going on in the world of Facebook, which you know and love and avoid with every fiber of your being. But when I woke up and I got on Facebook, I really haven't didn't hear anything lately regarding 399. So I checked on some of her team pages, and lo and behold, there was a call to arms.
Oh my gosh, what were they saying?
Well, not only were they reporting something big going down with all those agencies involved, well, they were, put it this way, they were upset that there was all these agencies involved. And here's the worst part. They were announcing the exact location, as in exact address, street number, everything. They were saying where all of this was taking place. And it, to me, to anyone that looked at that page, they were trying to mobilize everyone to go down to try to figure out what the heck was going on.
And that is like the worst possible thing they could do. I mean, listen, I get their passion and I get their concern for grizzly bears. And I even understand their affinity towards an individual bear. But I mean, they're doing like everything in their power to get this bear, probably the four cubs and possibly even a person killed. Quite literally, that is what they're trying to do. I mean, if they would just stop and think for a minute and not let their emotions override their good judgment, they would probably see that they are more of a problem than a solution. So, anyway, I've ranted about nothing. This obviously has already taken place. So tell me what happened.
Well, just as you described, this multi-agency bear team, they set up shop. And what they're trying to do is they were trying to keep things on the down low, not just to help their biologists out, but to help the bears out as well. You know as well as I how important it is to keep everything calm and quiet when you're trapping bears. And just so you know, when I say it was a multi-agency thing going down, we're talking about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Wyoming Game and Fish, U.S. Forest Service, National Park Service. They had all the big guns. They literally had all those leading bear experts in that entire region on hand.
I bet you know a few of them too.
I don't think I'd take that bet because you would be right.
So did they capture 399?
Unfortunately, no. But they did capture three of her cubs. And they, just so you know, they ended up putting a radio collar on two of those three cubs.
Well, although, that's probably not the ideal situation that still will definitely help because those cubs are probably going to be hanging out with their mama until next spring. So the biologists can still use those radio locations to try to, cut her off at the pass when she starts taking those cubbies to areas where they could probably get themselves into trouble and learn some pretty bad habits. So big question though, were they able to reunite the cubs with 399? I mean, I'm imagining that she stayed in the area since she has historically been such a good mom. But I'm guessing she also probably was not too happy.
Oh yeah, and just like we both described, when you have a family group of five bears, mom and offspring, the bears are gonna hang around. So even though 399 was not caught, apparently she's getting pretty trap shy right now. She was hanging around up on the ridge with one of her other cubs, and you can imagine, you gotta keep an eye on her, a really, really close eye on her. But she hung out far enough away for the bear biologist to put collars on those other cubs, and all five bears, they were reunited just a few hours later.
Okay, so in the end, everything worked out as well as it could, and everybody was happy, right?
Ah, Stephanie, Stephanie, Stephanie. When in the world has the mob of social media ever been happy?
And you wonder why I avoid the Facebook like the plague. Since I'm not on social media, I really don't have an answer for that, but there is a reason I avoid social media, so I can probably take a guess and say never.
Boy, howdy, is that an understatement? I tell you what, it was horrific. Now, some of those Facebook pages, that were dedicated or are dedicated to 399, they erupted in these terrible rumors and misinformation that began spreading like wildfire. And so there was threads talking about how there is this covert operation going down and the agencies were planning on going in there and capturing and killing 399 and her cubs.
Okay, that's just total absurd. Like that I don't even have the words. I mean, given her notoriety, there's just no way. That's a public relations nightmare. You know, albeit they actually do have the authority and potential justification in this case, they would most assuredly probably not do something like that just because, like I said, it'd be a public relations nightmare. The public relations standpoint alone would make them take a really long, hard look at that.
Exactly. And so right off the bat, most calm, logical thinkers would know that's just completely false and that's a rumor. But that did not prevent people from starting that rumor on those Facebook pages. Now, I'm trying to think of some of the other things I saw in there. So
I hope that those people, I hope they feel a strong sense of personal accountability when they let these rampant speculations fuel the words that they're saying that people are going to take as some gospel truth. I hope that they're accountable for their words.
No, I think that they are damn proud of it. And even though they're completely wrong, false, just complete outright lie, they don't care. They just like seeing the excitement. And that's the riledness in me.
Rabble rousers. Yeah.
But it didn't seem like there was any regret whatsoever, even after the truth came out. But let me think about some of the other things that were posted on there. Okay. There's one thread, and I love it because it's like, well, this is taken on good authority from a friend of a friend. And it's always a friend of a friend, or I know someone who saw something. But there was one, and I loved it because they were saying that the agencies, they're going in there to capture all the bears. And what they're going to do is they're going to round them all up and take them to Canada. They're going to bring a helicopter in as soon as they are trapped and load them up and fly them up to Canada, where I don't know, but they're going to send them out of the country. But I thought that was a pretty good one because it made me laugh. But now here's the thing. Those two were bad enough. This one was the one that kind of really infuriated me because the rumor was that the bear team completely botched the trapping event. They were claiming that those guys did everything wrong, that they overstressed the bears, they caught the wrong bears, anything and everything they could complain about, they did. It was literally, these rumors were literally a smear campaign against the folks who are working to help save 399.
And that is so sad because, like you said before, you know, we do personally, Daryl and I personally know a few of these guys that were down there that day. And they're some of the most dedicated, most passionate, bear loving people that are out there. I mean, they're like on the same level as Daryl with their loving bearsness. And you know how much it sucks doing everything in your power to do the right thing, only to have some inexperienced person who is probably uneducated, especially in this career field, absolutely sitting there just judging your actions like they're some expert and that they know everything about this. It's like you have some accountant sitting there telling you that you did your trapping wrong. Well, who the crap is he to say? But I mean, I will tell you, you know, you try to block out all the negativity when things like this happen, but you really can't help but feel a little dejected when folks are just publicly criticizing you.
Yeah, and especially when you do a really great job, too. I even popped on the Facebook page of one of those guys that you and I both know, and I felt so bad because you could see the frustration in a few of his posts and he was specifically targeting how awful he felt because of the way he was treated by the quote unquote the mob. And I tell you, Steph, the human race is not really ready for social media because it gives those uneducated and often ill-tempered people a voice that has never been heard before. And sadly, most folks don't know how, like, if you might not be that voice, but you might be reading these things, those people simply don't know how to discern good information from bad information. They read those rumors and they don't know if it's true or not. And it just seemed like a lot of these team pages for $3.99, they were hell-bent on spreading a whole bunch of bad information.
I can't help but say that this is just, it's lunacy. It's like listening to people who don't, who are completely not in the know about things of this nature. It'd be like going to a wildlife biologist for tax advice. I mean, there's just, you go to a wildlife biologist for bear advice, for wildlife advice. You don't go to them for tax advice or, to become your new financial advisor or whatever. You go to an accountant for that.
Okay,
So this
so,
is,
well, okay, and just so you know, I tell this all the time to so many folks. When someone needs some legal advice, they see a lawyer. When they need help with their car, they see a mechanic. When their health is going downhill, they go see a doctor. When they need wildlife advice, they consult themselves. And
or Mr. Johnson
it's
or
no,
anybody, any.
they're their own, they know best. And it's, I don't get it, but that's the world we live in.
Yeah. So did anything come of all this big ordeal?
Well, kind of, sort of. Because of all this social media backlash, Mountain Journal, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they're a big magazine based in that area. What they ended up doing shortly after, because it was literally the biggest news in that area for a while. What they did is they coordinated this webinar a few days later where they brought in some high-level people to discuss the event publicly.
Okay, who'd they bring in?
Well, Dr. Chris Servine, you probably know him. He
Ooh, oh yeah.
headed up the grizzly restoration in the whole Greater Yellowstone area for decades. There's Dr. Jody Hilty, who she heads up the Yukon to Yellowstone Initiative, which is a really cool initiative. And then they also brought in Tom Mangelson, who's a world-renowned wildlife photographer from Jackson Hole. He's well known for his photos of $3.99.
Sorry for the cough. Anyway, okay. So Chris Sever or Servini, oh my gosh, that's a name. So it looks like they had both sides represented because they have Chris and then they have Tom, and kind of a neutral panelist in Jody. So tell me, did you attend the webinar?
I did.
Okay, so how'd it go?
You want the
Ha. I mean, sure, try that on.
Well, two of the panelists did an awesome job explaining grizzly biology and management actions and how we all need to work together for the benefit of the species. And you can honestly tell they were sincerely interested in trying to make the best decisions possible, which were science-based, and they were trying to think logically through everything. They were also really, really interested in working with and explaining things to people.
Okay, and the third.
Well, sadly, he was more interested in trying to smear the other side. He did have some good points here and there, but he would go on tangents. Can you imagine anyone that go on tangents?
Oh my gosh, I can't even.
Anyway, he went on this long ramble claiming how botched everything was. And I say botched because that was the key word on social media, how that team botched that whole event. And then he used the same word about, I gotta say, this thing was botched. But the funny thing is, he kind of admitted that, like, all of his information was hearsay. Now, don't get me wrong, Steph. I totally get his passion and his love for the bears. But a lot of what was coming out of his mouth was totally driven by emotion. Now, I understand it's really hard to do for some people. They're driven by passion and emotion. But when it comes to wildlife management, it needs to be driven by science and logic. And Chris, Can I
critical
ask you a
thinking.
question?
Sure.
I agree. I agree. And I'm terribly sorry I interrupted you because you're right. Critical thinking science are great. Does he make a profit from his pictures of this bear?
Oh yeah, that's his living.
Okay. So he's not only being driven by possibly his love for bears and his passion for bears, but he's also being driven by his wallet because that's an easy bear picture opportunity with a famous bear who has four.
I'm not gonna say what I saw quite a bit of in the banter afterward was, and I can't say yes or no, and I don't want to put words in his mouth or assume I know what's going on, but there's a lot of people claiming that he did not want to, because he photographs 399, you don't want to take a picture of a bear with a radio collar on it. And so I can't say yay or nay one way, but that's what some people were saying got him kind of riled. But anyway, just don't get me wrong with all of this. Emotions slip in once in a while. Heck, you know me. I occasionally, like every once every 30 years or so, get all riled up. So there's
Once
that.
every 30 years or so. That's anyway. So knowing how riled up you were over what happened with this, I would say if it's true, once every 30 years, you are good for at least another 30 years. But I will say though, I totally see your frustration when you have people who dedicate their whole career, their entire life sometimes, to working with animals and helping animals, doing the right thing by animals, science-based, critical thinking, like all the stuff you just said. And then you have these people on social media who think that they know so much more than you because they Googled it and they love animals. It makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, no. And the funny thing is, you just reminded me of something. You want to hear the best part of this?
Sure.
Well, knowing what an emotionally charged ordeal this all was, I even waited a few days until people had a chance to settle down. And that was including myself, because it was a frustrating day for a lot of people. So I wanted to go into that world of social media with a level head and at least try to educate some folks on what actually took place that day. And what I was going to do, I was going to try to explain why those management actions were taken. And since I ended up speaking to a few of the guys that were there, maybe answer some of the other questions that some of the people might have had.
Okay, and how'd that go?
Well, I visited the largest Facebook page that was dedicated to Bear 399. And lo and behold, even a number of days later, there was still a lot of criticism regarding what took place.
But the agencies were just trying to help keep a bear alive. I mean,
I know, but there was still talk about how it was, quote unquote, botched.
I'm gonna start taking a drink every time you say the word botched.
I should have. I wouldn't even remember that week. So anyway, I got on there and I politely asked, and just so you know, I'm not being sarcastic. I truly was polite, because I try to temper everything on social media, just knowing how many people read it, and I got to be the bigger person. So I was really polite and I asked them exactly what was it that was botched? And you know how they responded?
I'm afraid to ask.
They booted me from the group. Apparently,
Oh,
I am one of quote unquote them.
you're a them. Oh, you mean so you're one of those people that actually know what the heck they're talking about and, you know, and who are you to try and educate people?
Apparently, they don't like that kind.
Oh, yeah. See, now that gets me mad. You know, it's one thing when you have an opinion on something, but when you become so close-minded that you don't even listen to another person, especially, I mean, being honest, the person here is trying to be the voice of reason, but just because that person doesn't share the same opinion as you, that right there, that is what is destroying us as a peoples. You know, we're so unwilling to listen to our fellow human unless they're going to say exactly what it is that I want to hear. How dare they have a different opinion than mine? Because that then makes them, well, it makes them a one of a them, you know, like you are. And that gets me riled up. I'm just saying. But anyway, D, so we've been rambling on about this topic for quite a while now. So we're at that 45-minute point.
I hate to you're passionate here, so I hate to say this, but can we start wrapping things up?
I say that's probably a good thing because I should probably get my blood pressure down. Now, I tell you stuff. I got in my line of work to work with animals, but man, this working with people, this working with people is for the birds sometimes.
So you are an ornithologist. No, just kidding. But sadly, that's where the brunt of our efforts have to be focused. I mean, a lot of people, D, you're not the only one, go into wildlife biology because they want to work with wildlife. They don't want to work with people because people are frustrating and people are, well, so very people-like. You know what I mean?
Irrational.
Well, irrational, emotional, illogical. I mean, that's what we are as a species. So it's really sad. And that's where the brunt of our efforts have to be focused is on the people because the animals aren't the ones, you know, if animals could read signs, wildlife biologists in our whole wide world would just be much happier and they'd have so much easier jobs because the animals are not the problem. It's the people that are problem. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call this episode done before I start to go on a rant. So tell you what, do you want to go ahead though? We kind of rambled on at the beginning of this. So do you want to summarize this episode for everybody?
Yes, I do, because there's actually a couple of points I need to stress. Now, first off, I would like to stress that passion is good. It's really good. It's actually what keeps us engaged. It keeps things alive within our soul. Now, with that passion, however, it has to be tempered with logical and critical thought. Now, when we make decisions based on emotion alone, sometimes we make very, very poor decisions. So just be passionate, but be logical, be smart, be critical thinking. Now, the other point I want to make is this episode, this is not a knock on all those folks that love Bear 399. Heck, she's an amazing bear. And I myself, I'm quite fond of her. So I just want people to understand that the folks actually working with 399, whether or not it's the state agency or the federal agency biologists, they want the absolutely best for her just as much as you do. There's only a few bad apples out there on that social media that are spreading misinformation. So learn to identify your apples. So please, if you hear something that just doesn't sound right or sounds pretty far-fetched or they're loading the bears on a helicopter to Canada. Double check that information and especially be wary of your source of information because there may be other motives involved. And we kind of briefly mentioned that too. So now I say this in this episode, but this is something we are constantly telling our listeners. Just be critical thinking. The wildlife depends on your thinking ability. So that's my summary of it. Steph, is there anything else you'd like to tell everyone, every one of our listeners today?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to reiterate that agency staff, they don't want to euthanize bears. But I mean, we actually, Daryl and I did a whole episode on why did that bear have to die. So I'd actually really recommend that people find that in our episode library and listen to that. But agency folks, they're just people, right? I mean, so I can't say that people, because we are all a people, we can't always say that we always make the right decision. But anybody in this field, they do not go into this field wanting to kill bears for these, I mean, for these potential human safety reasons. They want to haze the bear. They want to keep the bear from being a problem bear. They want the bear to be out there and be a wild, healthy, natural bear. But it just irks me because people act like, well, I mean, to be completely honest, people act like anybody who works for a state or federal or even a provincial agency are a bunch of hunting cowboys who are out there to fire it all up. You know what I mean? And
Oh, yeah.
that irritates me because that is not why people go into this field. But anyway, D, we've been rambling on about this topic for a bit. So any shout outs?
Oh, you bet. And I'll probably steal your thunder, but I'm gonna give a shout out to that multi-agency bear team that was on hand to help 399 out. They did a fantastic job. Things, whenever you're dealing with wildlife, they don't always go right. Wildlife are unpredictable, but they did an amazing job getting collars on a couple of her cubs, actually capturing three of her cubs, reuniting the bears. And just so everyone knows, the bears were still together, still spotted together. Sadly, Steph, I should tell you this, like a couple days later, they had video of 399 and her four cubs walking literally through the middle of downtown Jackson Hole, like through the police station. So it's not a good situation there. So hopefully, with these collars on the bears, they can get out ahead of her. If they know she's going to a bad area, they can then send their folks who are working around the clock. So my shout out goes to all those guys and girls or women out there that are working with 399 to keep her and her offspring alive.
Oh my God, the amount of money we're spending on this bear to keep her safe.
Yep.
Ugh. Okay, yeah. All right. And a super special shout out to Tyler. Keep on keeping on. That's all I
Yes.
gotta say.
Okay. Hey, it just dawned on me, Steph. You know what the best thing about today's discussion is?
What is that?
I think it just gave me, when I mentioned about the bears walking in downtown Jackson Hole, I think it just gave me another episode idea. And yes, it will be about bears. But it just, you know, I think what we need to talk about next is literally what's at the heart of this issue and explain the boundaries between bear country and human country.
I hate to say it. I really hate to say this, but that's actually a really good idea. So before I let that go to your head, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up by telling everybody thank you for spending some time with us this evening. We know you have lots of things you could have chosen to do, and you chose it to spend it listening to us talking about bears, of all things, as usual. As always, remind everybody that you know to follow us on our Facebook page, keep engaged with us there, or keep engaged at least with Daryl. We will be able to give you all of the current things that are going on, and including webinars that are about to be kicking right back off. So a lot of you have been asking about that. Check out the Facebook page or the Wildlife for You website so that you can be in the know on when those are happening. As always, subscribe to our podcast so you get notified every time we have a new episode that comes out. And definitely, folks, remember, when it comes to wildlife,
Your knowledge often means their existence. Good night, folks.
so blood pressure down yet?
No. It just totally gets to me when people who ought to know better just don't know better. Now, and especially when it comes to wildlife.
See, that's where you and I are different. I just don't let those things bother me.
Like when you saw a group of people walking up to that bison in Yellowstone to get a closer pic.
Oh, now that's different. Those people were stupid and they were in my line of vision.
I will tell you, I kind of regret holding you back that day. You were about to crawl out of your window and go after them. And I tell you what, that would have been so cool to see you taking on four other women.
I would have won too.
And you know what? My money would have been on you too.
Aw.